colorful past. But that's exactly what it is, the past. Because when you come to Jesus Christ, all is forgiven. There is no sin that you can do that is outside of God's grace. No person ever in human history has been outside of God's grace. Even Hitler, one of the worst people in human history, if he had ever truly repented of his sins and called out to God, God's grace would have covered him. That's how big it is. And because we're new creations in Christ, that's what we used to be is the past. And that's why today the deceiving lie that you can be a believer and be a homosexual at the same time. You can be a believer and you can be an adulterer. You can be a believer and an extortioner. You can be a believer and an unforgiving, hateful person is a lie. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Again, I'm not saying that we are perfect people. What I am saying is, though, sin and sinful characteristics should not be a characteristic of who we are anymore. It's what we used to be. And we've surrendered to the sanctification of the Holy Spirit to be discipled and to be changed. Evidence of the living God living in us. But those who show no change, those who continue to embrace sin, those whose past is not just the past, but still the present. I don't care if they believe in God or not. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. They're deceived. Many of the world and churches are deceived. I've run into many people who are sinful, sinful. I used to be one of them. Sinful as can be. Just as far away from this as possible, I was. But I always claimed to be a believer. I was deceived. I was a liar, and I didn't even know it. Paul is trying to get this very point across to the Corinthians, the same point I'm trying to get across to anyone who will hear this sermon today. But what were some of you? Past tense. A true believer cannot be comfortable in sin. The Corinthians were in a very hard place because sin was all around them, especially sexual immorality. It was all around them. But they could not get comfortable there. They were called to be salt and light. But here, they had allowed sin in the church. This is what the whole first letter of 1 Corinthians is about. And they were making excuses for their sin. Let me show you. Paul points out two of them. Go back to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. Here's the two excuses for their sin. All things are lawful for me, and food for the stomach, and stomach for the foods. You go, what? Well, let's start with the first one. All things are lawful for me. See, let me put it in a little clearer terms. Where sin abounds, grace abounds more. So, grace is so awesome. And no matter how much we sin, if we sin more, then more grace will be given. So let's just sin and sin and sin so we receive more and more grace. How's that sound? Does that sound good? No, it shouldn't. No, right? No, it's wrong. So they're trying to say, you know, and it's true. If you're truly in Christ and every sin is covered by God's grace. Past, present, future. But we're not to abuse that grace. That's not a characteristic of a true believer. That's a characteristic of a false convert. All things are lawful to me. All sins will be forgiven me because of grace. So let's just sin. Especially the sexual sins because it's so prevalent around us. But Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6, verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Do you understand that? When you repented of your sins and you put your faith in Jesus Christ and you called on him to save you through his death, burial, and resurrection, you were saying, I'm going to die. The old is dead. The old is dead. I'm accepting Christ's death for my sin. I'm embracing that as if I died, because that's exactly what he did for us. He died in our place. But I'm going to take that death on mine, on my account. And I'm going to die. The old is gone. And now I'm embracing Christ in the new way. And I'm going to follow Christ. It's no longer about us. Verse 4, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Not the way we used to be, but the way we are now in Christ. Baptism, that's what it symbolizes. It doesn't save anybody. If you get into that baptism without having that spiritual moment with God where you're born again through the Spirit of God, through repentance and faith, then just getting in that baptism is just getting wet. It has no meaning whatsoever for you. And if you think your baptism is what saves you, you are deceived. That baptism is just symbolic. Because what Christ does in a human heart, no one else can see right away. The sinner repents, calls out on the Savior. It's all done on the inside. But to show the world what Christ has done for us, we get baptized. So when you get baptized, you're standing in the water. And when I baptize people, I say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with him in his death. And you go under the water. Symbolic of the old dying. And then if I like you, I'll raise you up pretty quick. If I don't, I might start sharing a sermon or something. Buried with him in his death. And then when I raise him, put him under the water, I say, buried with him in his death. Raised in newness of life to walk with him. That's what I say from this verse. Because what he did on the inside. That's what Paul's trying to point out to the Corinthians. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Yes, your sins will be forgiven you, but why go back under the power of sin? You've been free from that. Let's go to the next excuse. Food for the stomach and stomach for the food. It's just a biological thing. It's just like eating. And sex is physical and it's biological, and so it's no big deal. It's just a biological act we do, so let's do it. It's just like eating. Let me tell you something. It's not just like eating. Because guess what? You can go your whole life without having sex and you won't die. Did you know that? But if you go without eating, you'll die. Be hungry. Some of you are hungry right now, going, it's getting close to lunch. So their arguments are lame, stupid, ignorant. It says God will destroy both of them. Both of it and them. Now listen to be very clear, Paul says, the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. You see, you were created not to use your life and your body for your own desires. You were created for the Lord. You were created for his glory. And I can prove it. Go to verse 14. And God both raised up the Lord, the body of Jesus Christ, but also raise up us by his power. But let's look at the resurrection. Jesus' physical body died. Can any of you stop old age from happening to you? Can any of you stop a disease from manifesting itself in your body? No. Can any of you prevent death? No. Can any of you, once your body dies, you can bring it back to life? No. But God can. The body of Christ, he raised it. Physical death has no power on God. This universe was created by God. He owns it, all of it, and he's in control of all of it. Even death is not outside God's control. If he has that kind of ability and that power, that means he's the creator, he's the owner. We're in that universe. That means he owns us. You are not your own. You're not your own. Most of the world, and most of us at a time, rejected that truth. We thought we owned our own lives. And we didn't even really, because we were slaves to sin. But we were going to do it our way. Was that Frank Sinatra song? I did it my way. Have you ever listened to that song? Pride. It's the problem of the world. It's the problem in many churches, because we get so prideful. We think we can dismiss what God says and we can live our lives whatever way we want, and he just needs to deal with it. Do not be deceived. God will not just put up with it. Well, he'll deal with it, but it's not going to be the way we want. We have no real control, because what we have is not our own. We do not belong to ourselves. We belong to the Lord. Look what verse 15 says. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? The two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. The whole world is deceived here, thinking that they own themselves. Christians can get just as deceived, thinking, oh yes, we've been saved, but still, it's my life. My body. I can do whatever I want with it. And the Lord will just accept it. Very dangerous. Because if we accept that, then we don't look any different than the world out there. So if we don't look any different than them, how are we going to share the truth of the gospel, of their desperate need for Jesus Christ? Will we be able to? No. Because we're not going to look any different. We're like, well, what do you have that I already don't have? That's what the unbelieving world will ask. Oh, we got more. You got to attend church. You got to sit through boring sermons. You got to tithe your money. Well, what? I mean, that's not a very good advertisement, is it? We're not our own. Paul is being very clear with the Corinthians here, and he's being very clear with us. We have no right to be sinful in our lives. Joining with a harlot. What if I said to you as the pastor of this church, the fireside room, I'm going to convert that into a local bar and brothel. Do they still use that term, brothel? I don't know. You guys know what I'm talking about. I'm going to take the gym and the fireside room for a bar and a brothel so we can have some extra income in the church. How would you guys feel about that? Yeah. You guys would be like, I don't think so. You'd be mad. You'd be angry if I was serious. You're not angry now because you know I'm not serious. But if it was a real scenario, you'd be angry. Why? Because this building has been dedicated to the ministry of God. This place has been designed so we can do what God has asked us to do. No, that's another deception they have out there. No. You can't use darkness to attract people to light. You have to use light. But this building has been dedicated, so there's no way we would ever take a part of it and use it for darkness. The same is said with you. Your life is no longer your own. You dedicated it to God. You have no right to be sinful in your life, to embrace in sin. You are to be one with the Lord. Look at verse 18 of that chapter. Flee sexual immorality. Flee sexual immorality. Sexual immorality is so bad for the human heart and spirit and body. All sin is destructive. All sin brings death. Sexual immorality, though, brings even more. It's not just a sin against God. It's the one sin that's good. It's a sin against yourself. Every sin that a man does outside the body against God. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Do you not know that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Flee from this. Sexual immorality you have to flee from. Remember, the Corinthians are saturated with it. It's all around them. It's in their church. Some people say, well, it's just too much. I can't handle all the temptations out there in the world as a believer. Well, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this, no temptation is overtaking you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape. You have to take the escape. And even in a situation where sinfulness is all around us, we can live lives that honor God, are holy, and a blessing, and a witness to the world. Go back to 1 Corinthians 6. Flee sexual immorality, sins against his own body. Do you not know that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? One thing you must understand, as believers, when you ask Christ to forgive you and save you, the Holy Spirit of God came into your life. The Holy Spirit of God came in to indwell you. Look at Ephesians 4:30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, all evil intentions. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. What you must understand is the old ways are not your ways anymore. The church has to operate differently. We can't just come here and put on a good show and then go live our life like the world the rest of the week. Or worse, bring all that sin inside the church as well. The Holy Spirit in you will be grieved. It hurts God when his children sin, willfully sin, ignore his word, embrace sinfulness in their lives and in the church. Because we are here to reach the lost and dying world. But if we're acting just like them, again, what good are we? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18. Flee sexual immorality. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are not your own. You're not your own. We have to understand that. Church, your life, as you live it right now, whether you're looking forward to retirement, retired, I got a high schooler, I can see right there, he's got his whole life ahead of him. Your life is not your own. And I'll tell you why your life is not your own. Look at verse 20. For you were bought. You were bought at a price, a heavy price. First of all, you were created for the glory of God. Every person in the world is. Most reject that and are in rebellion to God. But one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess Jesus is Lord. But for us who have been redeemed, who've been brought out of darkness, we were bought with a very, very heavy price. You're not your own anymore. What does that mean? Does that mean God can say, I know you're retired, but I'm about to send you to the mission field in Zimbabwe. Would you go? To our young high school student back there, he says, son, I want to call you to the mission field. Would you follow? The church which we make up, we have two main purposes: to glorify God with the lives we live, and to reach a lost and dying world. You know, all I ever wanted to do was be a Marine. That's all the ambition I had, be a United States Marine. 1,000 years from now, will that make a difference? Is it going to make a difference if I gain the whole world? If I gain great education and wealth and power, and I have a tower named after myself? No bashing on our president, I'm just saying. Does any of that stuff matter? It won't matter. The only thing that's going to matter is people that we bring to Jesus Christ, people that we help bring the truth to. So, in closing, you were bought at a heavy price. We are to glorify God with our body and with our spirit. You no longer have a right to sin, whether it's physical sin in the body, like sexual immorality, getting drunk, beating people up, whatever. And there's no, in the spirit, being able to sin, holding a heart of unforgiveness and unlovingness, and being clicky and rude to people. You have no right. None of us do. We will make mistakes. You need to repent of those mistakes and move on. We as a church, folks, have no right to sin any longer. Because the body and our spirit, which are God's, were bought with a heavy price. We need to be living for God, to glorify Him, being equipped by Him, so this church is different and we can show people in the dark world a light, a hope. If your life doesn't show that, who owns you? Does God own you, or do you own yourself? Is your life about you, or is your life about God? Don't deceive yourselves. If your life is not really about God, don't deceive yourself and say, well, yeah, I'm about God. If it is about God, God bless you. Great. So you must test yourselves. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Here's where Paul is afraid. The second letter to the church at Corinth, he closes it with this. He's afraid there's many non-believers in the church, and he's afraid many are deceived. Examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified, unless you fail the test. You see, there's two aspects of this whole spectrum of sin. It's the small, quote-unquote, sins of just being unloving and unkind, talking about people, whatever. Just that, those sins of the heart and of the mouth. Bad attitude. Then there's the whole spectrum of sins where it manifests itself in physical ways, where you're an adulterer, homosexual, or a thief, or drunker, or whatever. Manifests itself in physical ways. If your life is characterized by sin, hidden or not, and your life is not about honoring God and seeking His ways, maybe you're failing the test that Jesus Christ is not in you. Do not be deceived. Paul wrote this to a church. Who owns you? If you think you own yourself, that your life is about you, then you've been deceived as a believer. You will be owned by sin if that's your attitude. You think you can handle sin? You can't handle sin. None of us can. But if you acknowledge that God is your creator, that Jesus Christ died for you, bought you with a heavy price, and you acknowledge that you are no longer your own, but you belong to God, then there's hope. There's hope for this church, and there's hope for the gospel reaching people in this town. Jesus came to rescue us from sin on that triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He came looking at the end of the week of hanging on a cross, and by that night being put into the tomb because of sin. Will His sacrifice be honored by us? Or will it be held cheap? And we'll claim Him, but we will not honor Him in the ways He's asked us to honor Him. When was the last time this church brought someone to Jesus Christ? Answer that question. When was the last time this church brought someone to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? When was the last time we used that baptismal up there to baptize someone into the family of God? It's been a while. And that's not just my job, that's all of our jobs. Why are we not saving people, church? Who really owns us? Three things to take away today. Do not be deceived by the world. All sexual immorality is sin, no exceptions. Homosexuality, the adulterer, the fornicator, whatever. Sex is defined for husband and wife in marriage. That's it. Stay in those parameters and you cannot go wrong. Don't let the world tell you that God's okay with sexual immorality. Two, all sin can be forgiven, but those who are truly forgiven flee from temptation and sin. We're not perfect, but we're not characterized by sin anymore either. Three, your body and your spirit belong to God. Let us use them to glorify the one who died for us. You belong to God, everything about you. I belong to God, everything about me. And since we decide to come together as a church and be family, this church belongs to God. Every aspect of it. None of it for ourselves. May not have been an easy thing to hear this morning. Not the easiest to share. And I've gone over again. But I hope we take this seriously. I hope we embrace this thought. You and I were bought with a heavy, heavy price. Let us honor that. Let's pray.